Hey y'all, before we jump into today's episode, we would like to invite you to a special event we're hosting on May 30th called Women in Whiskey. Join us for an adult field trip filled with Southern fun at the Jack Daniel's Distillery right here in our home state of Tennessee. Get ready to learn while sipping. We will be taking a private tour of the distillery, enjoy a barbecue lunch on the beautiful hillside, and partake in early happy hour with cocktails provided by Jack Daniel's as we listen in on a conversation with women who work in the industry. The conversation will be led by yours truly, your hosts of the Steel Magnolias Podcast. Learn more about the event at steelmagnoliaspodcast.com. You can grab your tickets there, and we cannot wait to see you on May 30th. And now, on with the show. Today, we are talking about a dessert that you might see at a community gathering, especially in the mountains of Appalachia. It's pretty tall, not too sweet, and as the story goes, even a community effort. Meet you at the table to talk stack cakes.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel with the grace of a magnolia.
We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table, so pull up a chair.
All right, if your stomach is growling, you may want to pause and have a snack before this one.
Because that's so true.
This is a yummy episode that I, even when I did my research, had to snack while I...
Is that right?
Yes, while I did my notes. But
how
we are
funny.
Talking... stack cake, and they are just like they sound, a cake that has several layers, right?
That's right, yeah.
So you may even call this company cake or
how cute.
Celebration cake. These are special. These take a lot of work.
For sure, this is a labor of love.
And yeah, but pretty much any cake that has frosting can be made as a stack cake, technically.
Oh, well, I can see that. I think more of like a... what I think of as like a European tort.
Ooh,
do you know what
yes.
I mean? That's thin layers.
Yes.
But this is a little more rugged looking to me.
It is.
Like no and frosting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the South, you are typically, this time of year especially, going to hear about the apple stack cake, which is what we're going to focus on today. But I, at the end of our episode, I do want to mention some other cakes that are frosted, that are technically stack cakes.
Okay.
That would definitely get you on the cover of Southern Living.
Oh, for sure. I'm just thinking.
And would win you a blue ribbon at your county fair. So I'll just mention those towards the end.
Okay. Or if you don't like apples for some reason, it
yeah.
would give you some other options to try.
Yeah. But well. Let's talk about the ever popular apple stack cake.
Well, you know what I think I loved about this topic? First of all, it's in pretty much any cookbook that's talking about the South.
Sure.
You see it so often in cookbooks about
yeah.
anything to do with the South.
Yeah.
But what I love about it, and I know this is just my heartbeat, but they were community gatherings where you usually would see these.
Yeah.
So barn dances, church suppers.
Yes.
We'll have to talk about, we had one at a funeral in East
yes.
Tennessee.
Yes.
Not too long ago. But always the story goes they were at weddings.
Yes.
In the mountainous regions of Appalachia.
Yeah.
So
and that was what you brought as a wedding guest was
a layer.
I love this. Of the cake. So basically, the taller the cake,
the more popular the bride.
Yeah,
right.
The bigger the wedding, the more popular the bride. However, you want to look at it.
So funny.
A tall apple stack cake means this is quite the party.
Yeah, and I love that too. Now there is some question: is that really true that people did that? Because when we're talking about putting this cake together, one of the important things about it is it has to sit for a day or two.
Yeah.
That's hugely important.
Like a couple of days is what they recommend.
Yeah.
Just sitting, already done.
That's right. Wrapped up in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. But I do think if people did this for a community event, they must have had to have brought it early. You see what I'm saying? Because you wouldn't just
that's
put it
true.
Together and cut it. It's not going to taste good.
That's true.
So that's why there's some like, is that just a folklore story or is that true?
That'd be,
but you know, it's mostly people that are just coming from the community, so they could bring it.
They could bring it by the fellowship hall at the
church.
On
Thursday for the Saturday wedding.
That's true.
I think that could be very feasible.
That's funny to think about.
Because if they cut it right away, it would not have tasted good.
No.
So.
No. Well, this screams fall. Does it not?
So does.
The coloring, the taste, the seasonal apples that you would use.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I think that's why it was popular in Appalachia, because apples are very plentiful there. You know, we've said this before, Southerners are very resourceful.
Yes.
They use what they have. And mountain cooks, they make delicious things out of modest ingredients.
That's right.
What they had to do.
They use what's in their hands and in their cupboards.
And make it delicious.
Yes.
So I think that's why it became popular.
Well, let's talk about the actual making of it.
Okay.
Now that we know a little history.
So if you've never had one of these, I want you to picture this more like layered pancakes.
Exactly.
This is not like a layered cake.
Yes.
That's three tiers, four tiers that you've usually seen, that's a couple inches each layer, right?
Yeah.
This is like pancake size.
Yes.
Usually you're going to see them like 5 to 10 layers,
mm-hmm.
typically.
Yep.
And I thought this was so funny. One of the things I read said that it's, a lot of people think it should be an odd number.
Oh, okay.
I for don't like know luck the reasons, why of that. Or, yes, okay. It has to do with that. And I know there is a lot of that kind of thing in Appalachian culture where they have these little quirky things that they think are, you know, blessings or curses or whatever. Anyway, I don't know about all that, but maybe it just looks cooler as an odd number, kind of like candlesticks.
That's
you don't
right.
ever want to have an even number. You want to have an odd number. So I don't know. Anyway. So in between the layers, what you're going to see. Well, first, I don't know. I'll just say this. In between the layers, people use a variety of things for their mixture that goes in between each layer, except not on the top.
Right.
You would not put this mixture on the very top layer.
Exactly.
So,
because this is literally just filling layers. It's not your frost. It's not a frosting that goes all around it.
Right.
Yeah.
So most people use dried apples
mm-hmm.
and make a mixture out of dried apples. I think the reason for that is because dried apples have like a really concentrated apple flavor.
True.
And so
like
it can
preserved.
Hold up to the cooking
mm-hmm.
and everything instead of it losing its oomph.
Yes.
It's already got its oomph in there.
That's a good point.
And with a considerable moisture being removed as it's cooking, this just holds up better.
Yeah, because as we've mentioned before, baking is chemistry.
It totally is.
And the weather outside impacts
matters
it.
Everything. Yes. So I just think that kind of adds the thickness and mm-hmm. yummy flavor. But sometimes you'll see people, instead of using dried apples, they'll use apple butter.
Okay.
For the for the in between.
Yeah.
Or sometimes people will just use cooked apples.
Yeah.
The thing is it's got to be really fine. Because you don't want like chunks in the in between.
Yeah, that would never do.
It just makes the space too big. You need like just the pancake.
And it's going to puncture the cake part.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if you decide you want to make one of these and you're wanting dried apples, one of the best places to go for that, if you don't make them yourself, I mm-hmm. guess there's some people that dry their apples themselves,
which
is amazing.
You go.
Or if you have a dehydrator or something, I don't have that contraption. You can usually find them at apple orchards, if you have a local apple orchard, or even online you can get dried apples.
Sure.
So anyway, you'd have to have the recipe to make the exact mixture.
Yeah.
But it's usually sweetened with sorghum.
Yeah.
And this cake is not like super sweet.
Right.
It's sweet, but it's not like when I think of some cakes.
Yeah.
It's not that sweet.
It's almost like a muffin. Like, is it
very fall?
In terms of like the sweetness, you know, because like a lot of people are like, you could basically have a slice of cake with your coffee with many calories as a muffin is.
That's so true.
Typically, you know, that's just so a regular. True. So it kind of has that vibe.
Or even like gingerbread. I think even like how you think of the taste of gingerbread, how it's sweet, but it's really more spicy.
Yeah. Or
it's
pumpkin bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more of like a spice flavor.
Yeah.
That's what I think this tastes like to me.
Yes.
When you're making the dough, it's not like when I think of a cake, I think of batter.
Right.
I can pour this.
Yeah.
It's not like that at all.
Yeah.
Think more like cookie batter.
Yes.
That you're forming with your hands.
Yes.
Right. That's
exactly.
More what the batter feels like as you're making it.
Which is so unique because we've described it now as pancake looking, but pancake mixture
can be poured.
Is very
poured. I really meant
too.
More like the thickness and the shape, like the thickness and size of it is like a big plate size pancake.
Exactly.
Not really the batter.
Yeah.
And another thing that I think is really interesting is most of the time these are, from what I was reading, you know, it's best to take like a cake pan.
Yeah.
Get your parchment paper and draw a circle with your pan to cut that.
For size.
Out.
Yeah.
However many you're going to do.
Yes.
If you're doing a 7 layer, cut 7 of those.
Yes.
When you've got your dough that's kind of like a cookie batter, you can just form it out to that size circle. Kind of cut it, you know,
like
so they're uniform.
Handmade cookie cutter.
Exactly.
Extra large size.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's also, I didn't say this, but it's really good to chill the batter so that it gets more firm for a little bit before you start spreading it onto the parchment.
That's good. Yeah. That's the case with a lot of dough. In other recipes,
for sure.
Too.
Scones, biscuits.
Yes.
In fact, I think this is kind of like that. It's more like that kind of a consistency than it is what I think of typically for a cake.
Yeah.
It's counterintuitive, but baking in the cake pan can often lead to more broken cakes. It's actually better to bake it just on the parchment paper.
Yeah. Yeah. Which seems risky, doesn't it? Like a cookie, though,
that's right.
It doesn't have a formation around each cookie.
Right. And these are, you know, fairly uniform looking, but it's kind of neat to me when it's not exactly perfect. There's little lumps on the edges.
The imperfections.
It absolutely makes it so cool.
For sure.
Now, so you make your layers with the dough. Then you make your filling. However you want to do that, there's recipes out there everywhere. Pick the one you think that you would like the best with what you have.
Fall flavors. Ground ginger, ground cinnamon, allspice, nutmeg. I mean, it's like...
All things fall.
The fall all-stars, yes.
It really is. You want to make sure that your filling cools down really well before you put this together as well.
Yeah.
So, that's why we say it's a labor of love.
It
you
is.
Do a few... steps, go on about your day. Do a few more steps, go on about your day. You know, it takes some time. Okay, but once you assemble this thing, you've put your layer, your filling, filling, all of that. Let's say it's, like I said, it's a 7 layer thing you've put together here.
Yeah, if you're okay with odd numbers, yes.
Now, the next thing you want to do is wrap this guy up. Really well.
Yes.
I think it's good to just do like, you know, saran wrap or something like that. But you want it wrapped fairly tightly.
Yeah.
Because the whole goal of this process is for all of that juice to soak in.
Yes.
Because your little thin layers are pretty hard.
Yeah.
When they come out of the oven.
Yeah.
But when you've wrapped this real tight, and the best thing to do is literally stick it in the fridge for 48 hours.
Yeah. Yep.
It's going to soak up all of that wonderful, juicy goodness. And it'll be moist enough not to, you know, it's not going to fall apart.
Right.
Whereas if you just put this together and tried to cut,
you're
going to have the messiest thing.
I mean, would you even, like, compare it to, like, a shortbread kind of layer? like a, you know what I mean? Like
before it soaks before up. It's
soaked.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you maybe imagine even like crisper. A shortbread cookie.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely needs some softening.
Yes, it needs to do. And so, you know, soaking up all that flavor. Then once you've taken it out of the refrigerator after 48 hours and unwrapped it, typically what you see done is confectioner sugar over the top, which is just so pretty.
Such a fun touch.
It really is. I've even seen pictures where, this I've never done, but people will put a doily on top of it.
Oh my goodness.
And then do their confectioner sugar and take the doily off.
A design.
And it's got like a sweet little design
on
it. Oh,
you're showing me a picture that looks so pretty.
Isn't that sweet? It just looks so feminine and lovely. But I'm sure you can do all kinds of creative things with a pattern.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Wow. So it just, again, if you were to see this for sale at a bake sale, or at a, you know, just your local baker, and it's got a high price tag.
That's why. That's it took a lot of time.
Listen to all these steps. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, the last time we had one, we were together. The last time I had one, we were together.
Yeah.
At a funeral.
Yep.
In Sneedville, Tennessee.
Yep.
And it was so sweet because the lady was known that brought it was known for her stack cakes.
Yeah.
And I actually chatted with her.
Yeah.
And talked to her about her recipe and how she makes it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so cute because as she was telling me, she was like, now it has to be white lily flour.
I love it. I remember her saying that too. Yep.
So different people have their favorite flour, you know. But
For
white
her.
Lily is a good one.
Yep.
And that was like one of her important steps that she was telling me.
Yeah, and word was out. Like she
actually sells these.
Sells out too. And even pre-orders, like books up. Yes. Like she is booked.
And to me, this is so much intensive work to make one. I just think like, oh my gosh, that's like a full-time job if you're making several.
But doesn't it make sense to make more than one
at a
time?
To go ahead and make several.
Yes.
Yes, but you know, your oven,
you got to have a lot of room
so many layers to work. At a time. Yeah.
But if you're going high and you might as well go wide.
So with this particular cake, even if your recipe is for an apple stack cake,
right?
You could go in a different direction if you either don't like apples or you just, you know, are trying to stick with some theme or something,
yeah.
You know. There's no reason this couldn't be apricot or cranberry or pear or fig. Ooh. I think fig would be so good. I'm a lover of fig. But, you know, you could use one of the butters of that kind of type thing. Or just dried fruit like those things.
Right.
Dried cranberries, dried pears, you know, just as you're making your mixture. As it says to make it for apple, just use something different.
Swap out a different fruit. That's a cool idea.
Make it your own. What you think would be best.
Well, yum, 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 yum.
I know.
If you see one and haven't tried one, get your hands on one. So that is the, I would say, pinnacle stack cake of the South.
Yes, as just a stack cake. And again, it's not the sweetest. So if you're, you know, making this or trying to think of what to do with this, it is more to me kind of think like gingerbread, spice.
Yeah.
Flavor goes great with your coffee or hot tea.
So good with coffee. See, that's where I get in trouble is it's in
it
that.
Feels like just a breakfast.
Sure. It's just sort of that in between.
Like a muffin,
not
like
quite
we
a
were
muffin.
Saying.
Yeah, yeah.
High caloric breakfast.
Not the best way to start your day, but very tempting. So that is, as we said, unfrosted.
Yeah.
It looks very different than any other cake that's out there. It's just kind of set apart. But there are technically other stack cakes that people have seen that are frosted, that are Southern, that I just wanted
and
to
are
mention.
Layers like that.
And that would maybe even be called more of a layer cake.
Yeah.
But it may be in a stack cake section of your cookbook.
That's true.
If it's a dessert cookbook.
That's true.
There are some that are found in the stack cake section. And some Southern ones would be a caramel or caramel cake.
Oh, man. I just had the best one I've ever had in my life.
Are you serious?
This week.
Was it homemade?
So I guess you could say it is. It was made by a lady who is a baker. I mean, it's not from a particular bakery, like, but she is a, baker, she's a baker and sells trade. Them.
Okay.
So I guess, is that homemade? Anyway, I was at a 90th birthday party, which was so precious. And so they had a big caramel cake.
Yeah.
And then pedophores made by somebody else on the sides.
Oh, fun.
So I do have our new pedophore person because, you know, ours retired that we like.
Oh, good. You've got another one.
I've got a new one.
Sweet.
And hers are just as good. They're fabulous.
Well, if you know... if you already knew that caramel is just sugar that's been heated up and browned, then you can probably guess what's the most prominent ingredient in a caramel cake. It's very filled with sugar, and the caramel frosting is very filled with sugar. But it is so wonderful, and the coloring lends well to fall as
Absolutely.
You can even...
And it's usually, you do usually see it, like 3 to 5 layers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. One pro tip, if you are making any of these layered cakes that I'm talking about in this section, is to grease your pan with shortening, unless your recipe calls for something different. But most layered cake bakers will tell you shortening is the best.
And I'll tell you another pro tip. If you're doing anything layered like this that has frosting, you need to put your layers in the refrigerator. To get them really cold. Like, everything has to be cooled down, that's and you want everything cold.
Good point.
Because when you put frosting on something that's kind of warm, it's going to melt.
Yeah.
So you need everything really cold when you put it together.
Yes. Yes. Good. Good point. Yes. Good pro tip. Fig cake. You mentioned figs earlier. Now, fig cake is probably no more than 2 layers, but if you're thinking figs could be hard to work with to get into a cake batter, well, you use fig preserves, you know, and then you can garnish with, you know, full whole figs if
that's
you'd like to.
That's also one of my favorite things on a charcuterie board.
Yeah. Oh, so this so one good. Would have pecans in it as well, but this is a very fall cake with, again, those spices of cinnamon, cloves, nutmeg, vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
Yum.
Black Forest stack cake. That's going to be one.
People love that. That's not my.
I know. Mm-mm. If you're a chocolate lover, this works. But this also very much has prominent flavoring of cream cheese and cherry pie filling. So it's that dark chocolate, white, and red.
Yeah.
Layers, but it even looks a little bloody when it's sliced into, just because that cherry pie filling can't help but run.
Yeah, yeah.
It's even if it's cooled down and has That's had true. Time to sit. So if you like those 3 flavors, then you would be in heaven with the Black Forest cake. And then a very, very popular cake in terms of the Southern living crowd is the hummingbird cake.
So supposedly that's their most requested recipe of all time.
Yes.
The hummingbird cake.
Yeah. And that came from a reader in 1978 that just submitted the recipe. And like you said, it still receives requests today. I have heard that if you looked back at county fairs or baking competitions that preceded 1978, that this cake was around.
Okay.
But we don't really have a lot of known history to it. It probably originated even in the Caribbean area.
Because of the pineapple coconut. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I can see how it would have been used. You know, you think of those kinds of ingredients as like only the wealthy had them.
True.
Do you know what I mean?
True.
In the early days, I mean.
Yes.
So that could have been a way to show off. Like, I made a hummingbird cake. Because, you know, kind of as a way somebody's saying, hey, I had pineapple and coconut in my pantry.
Yeah. And those.
And that would be a big deal.
Those are extravagant ingredients for sure. But we're talking banana, pineapple, cinnamon, walnuts. A lot of people shy away from nuts in cakes, but you have to have walnuts in this hummingbird cake for it to be a hummingbird cake. Yeah, these get me in trouble because I could
It does have coconut though, right? Am I right on that or am I wrong on that?
I don't remember.
I've never made a hummingbird cake, so I don't know.
I mean, it's white, so I feel like coconut could easily
coconut
be.
Coconut is one of those things. I love the flavor, but not the texture. And I think that's why I thought I didn't like hummingbird cake was because of that. Maybe you don't have to have that, though.
But you tasted mine when I had some out recently. Yeah. You liked it.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, this is, again, one of those cup of coffee and a slice of hummingbird cake. I could start my day with that very easily.
Yeah, those, again, I think are usually around three layers, right? Not like seven or...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of these are three. I mentioned the fig cake is probably more like two. But three is about the extent of a layered cake.
Well, that's a big popular thing in the South.
Yeah.
The hummingbird cake.
Yeah. And again, I mean, these are lend so well to celebrations.
Yeah. You know? And I even think anything that's layered, it just looks so pretty to take somewhere. Put it in your little cake carrier, on a little cake stand.
Yes.
It just looks so pretty.
Well, and like I think of the peppermint cake that you made was a Southern Living cover cake.
Yeah. Just beautiful.
Christmas time.
I think that one was just three layers.
Yeah. But it just looks difficult and extravagant. So
I might
such
have
a good
to make
centerpiece.
That at Christmas for us to put some pictures out because it's so cool.
Well, the cool part of that as well was the platter.
It's so easy, but you make a little peppermint plate.
Yeah.
Like just out of peppermint.
You
melt together and it looks so cute sitting on it.
It's like this thin, peppermint plate that it sits on. That was over the top to me.
Well, I might have to do that at Christmas.
So.
Well, I'm ready to make one of these stack cakes. I think I want to try to make a fig apple stack cake recipe.
Yes.
But maybe in a fig version.
That sounds good.
And like I said, a lot of cookbooks have this in there. But I got a new cookbook called United Taste of the South instead of United States.
Oh, okay.
United Taste of the South. Authentic dishes from Appalachia to the Bayou and beyond.
Ooh.
Jessica Dupuy.
Okay.
Anyway, she has a stack cake recipe in here. I probably wouldn't use that particular one because I think that one called for, if I remember correctly, I think hers was apple butter. I don't like apple butter.
You don't?
I don't like apple butter.
I love it, but then I only use it, maybe three or four servings in a season. And so I'm like, well, that was a waste of a whole jar.
Well, you should make one with your apple butter because it takes quite a bit.
Yeah.
So that would use up what you've got. But I like an apple stack cake that's made with dried or even... cooked apples that are just diced up small.
Yeah.
That tastes better to me.
That makes sense. Love it. Well,
I hope we've inspired you.
My tummy's rumbling.
To get to bacon.
Yes. And if you are enjoying these conversations, we would invite you to leave us a review on the podcast platform that you listen to, Apple, Spotify, or another one. And all it takes is for you to select the rating, like the number of stars, and a one-sentence review helps so many people find us and know a little bit more about what they can expect when they hit play. So if you haven't done so already, leave us that review, and we so appreciate it. All right, Lainey, have a good week. Peace be with you.
And also with y'all.